Good morning, everybody. There is something very traditional about this year, and I'm very, very much in favor of keeping with tradition. There may be only a passing reference to Parshat HaShavua, which is Parshat Noach, but the shiur that's scheduled for this morning, as for must be about 15 years now, that one of the Shabbosos after Sukkot, I say the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, and one of the Shabbosos after Pesach, I say the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, so that we can record it for posterity, and you know, there may be, who knows how many people that will want to listen to this. But I say there will be a passing reference to Noah, to Noah, very passing. No, I'm beginning to have all sorts of other ideas. Let's stick with it. The story is told of one of the Hasidic greats, Reb Zisha of Anipoli. Reb Zisha was sitting at Shavashudis on Shavashuva as the day was ebbing away, and he was talking with his Hasidim about the importance and the significance of doing tshuva. Of course, the Chassidim said, Rebbe, it's a difficult, difficult thing to do tshuva. Very difficult. Reb Zisha says, listen, in Shmona Esrei, we ask for refuah shlema, complete healing. We ask for geula shlema, complete reduction, redemption. And a bracha right near there says, Ashivenu, bring us back to you, tshuva shlema. Just like we want refuah shlema, and we want geula shlema, it's our responsibility to try and do tshuva shlema. So he said, the Rebbe, it's difficult. So the Rebbe said, you can do tshuva b'roshei tevos. With letters, you can do tshuva. Rebbe, what do you mean with letters you can do tshuva? So he told them, take a look at the word tshuva. And there you have it. The Tav of tshuva stands for Tomim Tihyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. Pasuk in Torah that says man should be wholehearted, complete, and full with God as God. There, of course, will come our connection to Parshat Noach. What's the first pasuk in Noach? Ele told us Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach was ish tzadik tamim ha'yoved dorotav. Noach is tamim, and we're going to find out what the meaning of tamim is. So Reb Zisha said, Tav of tshuva stands for tamim tiyam Hashem alakecha. The shin of tshuva stands for shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, I place God before me constantly. The vav stands for vahavta l'reyacha kamocha, love your friend like yourself. The bet, a pasuk in Mishlei, bechol derachecha do'egu, in all of your ways know God. The hay, Hikon likrat elokecha Yisrael. Pasuk in Tanakh, Hikon likrat, prepare yourselves, O Israel, before your God. As I read the story, there's an idea that occurred to me. I don't know, maybe not occurred, like I just felt that I was being overwhelmed with this idea. And I thought about it for a few hours, and it worked. It worked. There may be even more than a kernel of truth in what I'm going to say. And this is something that Reb Zisha didn't say at all. Reb Zisha was just talking about the significance of each one of these ideas. each one of these ideas, when you put them all together, we have constructed a religious personality who is a member of a faith community. God is before me constantly in all of my ways. I am to know him. Love your friend like yourself. Be complete and full. Prepare yourself for God. I mean, all of these are ideas. You put them all together. These are the building blocks of the perfect religious personality. But it occurred to me that these five psukim, these five steps, may very well describe the five periods in time, beginning with the month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, and Shmini Atzeres. And I'm going to describe and define exactly how I see it. What's the meaning of Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha? What is Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha? So I have there the words of the Ramban. Tomim Tihye Hashem Elokecha is a pasuk in Sefer Devarim. Tomim Tihye Im Elokecha. The Ramban, Nachmanides, holds that this is a positive commandment. The Ramban, well, let's say the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam does not count Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha, be wholehearted with God, your God. The Rambam does not count it as a mitzvah, I say a positive commandment. The Rambam sees Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha as an overall description of the totality of the Jew, but it does not require of him anything specific. And according to the Rambam, for something to be counted as a mitzvah, there must be something very, very specific about it. If it's just one of these general psukim that says, keep my statutes and my mitzvah, that's not counted a mitzvah. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha does call for a specific act. And he says, Shenitztaveinu, that we've been commanded, Liyot Libeinu Tamim Imo Yit'Aleh, that our heart should be full and complete with him. V'hu Shenema, Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha. V'inyan HaTzavo HaZot, what's the meaning of this command? Sheniyached Levaveinu Elov Levado. That we look, our hearts look toward God alone. There is no one else who can come to our aid or our assistance. There is nobody else who knows what the future holds. There's nobody else whose relationship truly counts on a spiritual level. The Shenamin Shehul of Adol said, Kol, should believe that he alone does everything. He is the only one who knows the truth of whatever will be in the future. If we want to know, at a period of time when there were prophets in Israel, if we wanted to know what is going to be in the future, we would go to his prophets, from his prophets and his pious ones. We don't ask the astrologers, we don't look at all of the nonsense that passes for knowledge of the future in the world. We don't believe that the words of the astrologer will come true. It doesn't really matter whether you're a Libra or a Pisces or whatever it is. Avonoma, you know, we should say, Hakol bidei shamayim, everything in the hands of heaven. Because God is the only one who has it in his ability to change, to dramatically change the all of nature. Mayfair also spotted the coast in Yehole, he makes fools of the magicians and those who use crystal balls to tell us the future. So there's something very specific about Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha. Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha is now a description of a relationship. We believe that everything comes from him. He is the one who holds the future in his hands. Our future He holds all of that in his hand. He is the only one who is able to determine and change dramatically whatever it is that is there in nature. V'namin, the Ramban goes on to say that we believe shekol ha'ba'ot tihiyena ilenu kifi itkarvenu la'avodatav. Anything that's going to happen to us is in direct relationship to the extent to which we are close to him. Kinyan shiftia. As Yirmiyahu said, El derech ha'goyim al tilamei tilmedu, don't learn the ways of the goyim. Umeyotot ha'shamayim al teichotu, don't be broken by the signs and omens that come from the heavens. Ki yeichatu ha'goyim imen of the goyim are broken by this. And then the last line, he brings the Sifri. Imasita kol ha'omer b'inyan, Are ato tom l'Hashem l'kecha. Tom in tiyem Hashem l'kecha, k'shato tom chelkechoim Hashem l'kecha. Your portion is with God, your God. So we're talking about a relationship of trust, absolute trust, of faith, a relationship of dependence, a relationship that our whole future depends on Him. Let me ask you, is that not the mood of the month of Elul? Isn't that what we're supposed to think and feel during the month of Elul? That our relationship is the closest with Him? Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. That's Elul. Ani, I am to my beloved, and by my beloved is to me. Everything that's going to happen to me depends upon you. That's why I turn to you before the Yom HaDin, before the Day of Judgment is going to come. In the month of Elul, we have to develop a relationship that can best be described by Tomim Tia Mashal Lekecha. Now, Tomim Tia Mashal Lekecha, you know, unfortunately in Yiddish there's the word, you know, there's a Tomim, sort of a denigration of a person, he's naive. That's not at all what Tomim means any place in Tanakh. But Noach, it says, Ish tzadik tomim hoya b'dorotav. What is the Rebbeinu going to say to Avram at the end of Parshat Lech Lecha? Hithalech lefonai, walk before me v'heyei tomim. What's the description of Yaakov? Yaakov is Ish tom yoshev olam. We're talking about people who have a relationship of fullness, complete dependence. I know that whatever is going to happen depends on you and the extent to which I'm close to you. That's precisely the mood that one is supposed to develop during the month of Elul. If I know that everything that depends on Him, then therefore I'm going to do tshuva so that I can stand before Him on Rosh Hashanah and be judged for good. Interesting, as I said, that Rambam says that Tomim Tia Hashem Elokecha is not a specific mitzvah, but rather it represents the totality of all of Torah. All of Torah is supposed to make a person into one whose relationship with God is complete and full. The Malbin says that the Rambam learns the pasuk differently than the Rambam does. The Rambam learns it as an imperative, a mitzvah, a command. Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha. Read it in one breath. Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha. The Malbim says that the Rambam, who does not see it as an imperative, it reads the pasuk with a little difference. Tomim tia. You should be full in your relationship with God. And if you will be in Tom Tia, then you know where you're going to be. Tia im Hashem Elokecha. You're going to be close to God, your God. Not that it's an imperative, a mitzvah, but the pasuk is telling you, if you're going to be Tomim, then you should know your place is going to be in Hashem Elokecha, with God, your God. That's the month of Elul. Then we come to the next pasuk in Reb Zisha's acronym of tshuva, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Oh, when I came to this one, the ideas started rushing. Oh, did they start rushing? Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid is going to be such a powerful description of the mood of what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And what am I going to use in order to describe this to you? We're going to learn the first sif in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. First halacha. Din Hashkamas HaBoker. The laws of getting up in the morning. Yidgaber Kadi Lamod HaBoker. Man should be strong like a lion to get up in the morning. Lavodat Boro, to do the service of his creator. Shiehi Humo Re'er HaShacha. He should wake up the morning. Not the morning wake him up. He should wake up the morning. I like to watch the sun rise over the Har Yehuda. I like to watch the sun set over the Har Yehuda. And from my living room, I can watch both of them. It's unbelievably beautiful. I've told them the past, I asked my people in Chutzar, my friends in Chutzar, what do they see when they look out of their living room window? They see the house across the street, you understand? Oy, but the extent that the ability, we have the ability to see much further. You look out of the living room window, you see the rolling green hills and whispering brooks of Har Yehuda. Sorry, you're supposed to wake up the morning, not the morning wake you up. Now watch. These are the words of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaber of the Shofar. Then comes Rav Moshe Isserlish, who adds his comments. Val Kolponim, he says, you know, he realizes that not everybody is going to wake up the morning. So he says, at least, lo ya'achez manat fil, a person shouldn't miss the time for davening. Shat zivu mitpalulim, when the community davens. Now begins the great comment of the Ramah, and in part it's taken from the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. This is the pasuk in Tehillim we're talking about. I place God before me constantly. Hu klal gadol v'Torah. That pasuk is a great rule in Torah. Ubemaalot hatzadikim, and in the levels that the righteous achieve, asher holchim lefnei olakim, those righteous who go before God. And watch the description of what is implied and what is said by Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. He says the way in which a man conducts himself, how he speaks and what he does when he's at home with the people of his house, is far, far different than the way in which he's going to conduct himself when he is in the presence of a king. Ki ein yeshivat ha'adam u'tnuotav, on the way a man sits and the way he moves, va'asokov, and the things he does, they are different when hu levado beveito, when he's alone in his house. Ki yeshivato u'tnuotav va'asokov, like his sitting or moving and involvements v'hu lefnei melech gadol, before a great king. Oh, you conduct yourself in a completely different way. And he doesn't speak and open up his mouth wide as he chooses, when he is with the people of his house and those who are as close to him. It's not the same as he would speak when he is in the presence of a king. Certainly, when a man is going to concentrate on the fact that the great king, the Holy One, blessed be he, whose dignity and honor fills the whole world, he's standing over him and he's watching what he's doing. As it says, then hide himself any place and I don't see him. Of course I see him. When a person ponders and thinks about that,
Shivisi Hashem l'negdi shomer, I place God before me constantly. Miyad yagia elav hayira v'hachna b'tachad Hashem yidbara u'boshto mimenu tamid.
Immediately, what will come upon him is fear and the humility and nearly a terror of Hashem Yisbarach, and that he will be embarrassed before him constantly. All right? Let me ask you, how is a person supposed to see himself on Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah? What's the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah? Malchiyot! Malchiyot! This is the day on which we crown God as King of the world. How does he become crowned as King? Because on that day, man was created. The wise men say, Ein melech b'lo am, there is no king without a people. It's on the day of creation, Rosh Hashanah, the creation of man, that God becomes king. Well, all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are all about Malchus Shamayim. Hashem melech, Hashem moloch, Ma'aseh Elokeinu, melech olamin. Chassidim called the night of Rosh Hashanah Leil HaHachtara, the night of the coronation. You know what the whole mood of Rosh Hashanah? The whole mood of Rosh Hashanah is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid, as the Chambam says in the Moran Avuchim that's quoted here by the Ramah. I see myself standing before Melech Gadol, the great king. That's what it's all about. Interestingly enough, the last sentence at the end of Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chayim, if you want a little balance, the last sentence, the Ramah says, to the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Tov, Leiv, Mishte, Tomid. He brings a pasuk in Mishlei, a person whose heart is good, life is always a party. You know what's happening over here? He is balancing out the tamid at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim and the tamid at the end of Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. Life is supposed to be happy. Torah never called upon man to walk around on the face of this earth in a constant state of fear and depression. We're supposed to be happy, but the real road to happiness is between the first tamid at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, and all of the halachas of Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim until you come to Tov Leiv Mishta Tamid. Chanuk and Purim, the end of Shulchan Aruch. But I there's something else that occurred to me. Even more than the Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, which presents for us the picture of the great king standing here, which is Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? How do we know it's the day on which God judges the Jewish people? Doesn't say it in Torah. Doesn't say it in Torah. All that we know from Torah is that Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei. We also know that it's Yom Teruah, a day of sounding the shofar. How do we know it's a Yom HaDin? Of all the fascinating things, the Gemara says, do you know how we know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? We learn it from God's relationship to Eretz Yisrael. Look at that pasuk. This is a pasuk in Parashat Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu is describing Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and he says, "Eretz Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota." This is a land that God is involved in. Tamid. That word, tamid, constantly. Ein Hashem Elokecha, for the eyes of God are in her. Meireshit Hashanah bad acharit Hashanah, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And the Gemara says, Meireshit Hashanah, from the beginning of the year, Nidon.
judgment is given what will be throughout the whole year until the end of the year. Do you understand the idea that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin and God is intimately involved with every human being on the face of this earth and all of the nations of the world? We learn from the way in which God relates to Eretz Yisrael constantly. It's unbelievable passage. Hashem tomid eni Hashem alakavavo, constantly. Do you see what I'm doing now? Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tomid. When is that tomid? The tomid of Rosh Hashanah. Gemara goes on further to say, do you see how Meireshit is spelled? Meireshit Hashanah bat acharit Hashanah? There's an aleph missing over there. If you take the letters Reshit, do you know what they are? Tishrei.
Oh, yeah.
From Tishrei, from the beginning of the year in Tishrei, judgment takes place by what will happen at the end of the year. So therefore I don't think I'm at all far off base when I say that the second pasuk in the acronym of Rav Zisha Me'anipoli, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, oh, is that a description of Rosh Hashanah? It's a description of how we're supposed to see God as King of the world. It is a description of that God who is going to judge us. Judge us on that day. From that pasuk, may Tishrei, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Alright? I think so far we're doing okay. And we're not forcing anything. It's pretty, pretty clear that Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid is indeed a description of the whole attitude, the whole atmosphere, the whole Ashkafa of Rosh Hashanah, just as Tamim Tia in Hashem Elokecha represents and describes the relationship that we are supposed to develop with God during the month of Elul. The third. I say that this is Yom Kippur. You may even say that it's part of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. What is it that leads me to believe that Yom Kippur is a day of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha? So I'm going to show you a fascinating halacha in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. You see, Hilchus Yom HaKippurim Simin Tov Reshvav. Simin Tov Reshvav says, Shiyifai Yisodim Chaved Obed of Yom HaKippurim. A person is supposed to ask forgiveness from a fellow Jew whom he has hurt in any way, Erev Yom Kippur. I'm going to get back in a moment to why doesn't this sif in Shulchan Aruch, this whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, why doesn't it appear before Rosh Hashanah? Why shouldn't we prepare ourselves fully for the day of great judgment and before Rosh Hashanah ask people for forgiveness? No, the Shulchan Aruch puts it by Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Avedot shebein adam l'chavedo, sins between man and his friend, ein Yom HaKippurim l'chaper, ad sheyifaisem. Yom Kippur is not a day of atonement until he's going to ask forgiveness. V'afilu lo hiknito ele b'dvarim, if all that one did was he hurt somebody with words. I mean, the halacha does not see that the sticks and stones will break my bones, but names or words will never harm me. No, you hurt people with words, and sometimes the hurt of words can last for a lifetime. You get a bruise, the bruise heals, but if it's a schlecht word that somebody tells you, God, how can that go with you for a whole lifetime? So you have a responsibility to ask for forgiveness. Tzarech l'faiso. And if a person doesn't say he forgives at first, you have to go back to him 3 times. You have to take 3 people with you. It has to be an effort. It's not like the kind of perfunctory thing. You may come here, you may come here. You know, sometimes you have to tell somebody, no. As a matter of fact, I'm not my chulia. Not everything is just so easy. You went ahead, you caused me terrible pain,
I'm upset for weeks now, and you think that it's all over because you come home and say, forgive me. Why before Yom Kippur? Why before Yom Kippur? So first of all, some years ago we talked about a different question, and that is, for every mitzvah, there's usually one yontif. Matzahs we eat on Pesach. Chanukah candles only on Chanukah, no other time. Read the Megillas Esther on Purim. Sukkah, you live in a sukkah only on Sukkahs. One yontif, each mitzvah. Here we have the unusual phenomenon of a mitzvah of tshuva, and you have two Yom Tovim. You have a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why do you need two Yom Tovim for the same, fulfill the same mitzvah? One Rosh Hashanah or one Yom Kippur wouldn't be enough. What do we need them both for? So it said once that the Aseret Yemei Tshuva may very well correspond very nicely to another 10, the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 commandments. And I'll show you how. The first 5 of the 10 commandments are those commandments Bein Odom, between man, and Makom, and God. The last 5 are Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, between man and fellow man. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Historically, we talked about it before, what existed on the first day of creation, the first Rosh Hashanah? What existed in the world? You know what existed in the world? Adam and Makom. Man and God. That was the first Rosh Hashanah in history. So Rosh Hashanah, therefore, is the day for tshuva, to mend the relationship between Adam and Makom. Yom Kippur already is the second half of the Aseret HaDibrot, the second half of the Ten Commandments. After one has rebuilt, restructured, repaired, refurbished the relationship with God, God tells him, but atonement, full atonement you're not going to have until you repair the relationship with your fellow man. And that's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur, I assume we're supposed to be like Malachim and Yom Kippur. I don't think Malachim start up with other Malachim. Understand? They act nicely. If you listen to what we say in davening about the Srothim and the Chayot HaKodesh, all of them standing there, the way they all praise God, they give permission to one another. There's a camaraderie on high, and that's the camaraderie that has to exist over here. This year I thought of something else. We gave 5 shiurim on Sefer Yonah, and it occurred to me that if to all the reasons that are given why Yonah is read on Yom Kippur, it may be in the final analysis that there's one that's overlooked. What's the whole story about? The whole story is about Yonah who flees from before God. Why does he flee from before God? Because he does not want to be the one through whom which the Jewish people will suffer. He's not going to be used by God to bring the message to Nineveh, Odar Boim Yom, in another 40 days Nineveh is destroyed. They're going to do tshuva, and then God is going to turn around to the Jewish people and say, take a look at this. I send this unknown prophet to Nineveh. He says 5 words to them, Odar Boim Yom v'Nineveh Nebaka, another 40 days, and Nineveh is destroyed, and they all do tshuva. And I've been sending prophets to you constantly. The Gemara we quoted said that Yonah went in order to die in the sea. He'd rather die than be the instrument of causing harm to a fellow Jew. Do you know what Yonah is? Yonah is the great symbol of Avas Yisrael. Is it possible that that's why we read Yonah as the day begins to ebb away? Is it possible that the message of Yom Kippur is, you're like angels now? All the nabishkeit that involves you day in and day out, and all of the unnecessary harm and hurt that man may cause the fellow man. You have to understand that Yonah is the great symbol of Avas Yisrael. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. That's what it's all about. And we gave the classic example of this year. Roy Klein, Hashem Yimkom Damo. A soldier who sees a grenade coming toward his troops, who cries out Shema Yisrael and throws himself on the grenade and is killed. That classic Avas Yisrael. Yonah didn't die. Yonah went to die. That may be the ultimate message of Yom Kippur. You know what Yom Kippur is? The Yohavta L'Reacha Kamocha. It represents the second half of the Aseret HaDibrot, of the Ten Commandments. And that's what we have to do tshuva with. One mitzvah, but there are two parts to that mitzvah. Tshuva requires tshuva b'nodom hamakom, and it requires tshuva b'nodom l'chaveiro. One is Rosh Hashanah, and the other is Yom Kippur. So we've done three psukim. Tomim tiyam Hashem alokecha, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, v'yohafto l'reacho kamocha. Now we come to b'chol d'rochecho d'ehu. B'chol d'rochecho d'ehu. Pasuk, in all of your ways, know God. Oh, there's most probably more to be said about this than what has been said about the other psukim, but let's take it. There, Dorash Bar Kapor at the top of the page, Bar Kapor said, Zehu Parsha Katana. What little parsha is there in Torah? Shekol Gufei Torah Tuluyin Bo. All of the body of Torah depends on that one little parsha, and all of Torah depends on it. In all of your ways know him, and he will straighten your paths. We have to understand, what does this what does it mean? This is a fact upon which all of Torah stands. Or you'll see that what Bar Kapara is saying is absolutely true. Two lines later, b'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim l'shem Torah shenama b'chol d'rochecho d'eyu v'hu yiyasher orchotecha. If we want to come to an understanding of b'chol d'rochecho d'eyu, what that pasuk is saying is that whatever you do should be for the sake of heaven. And the next quote is a quote taken directly from the Rambam. Nimtzo, the Rambam says, ha'mahalach b'derev zo kol yomav, a person who goes in this path all of his life, that whatever he does, he has in mind, he's doing it l'shem shamayim. And he explains, oveidat Hashem tamid, this person will constantly be worshiping God. I like that word, tamid. Every time the word tamid comes up, I like it. Anybody who's going to do that is serving God constantly. Afil b'shah should know, say the note to him, even while a person is doing business. Afil b'shah should boil, and even during intimate relationships. Mipnei shem achshavto b'kol, because his thought in all of this is k'dei shiyim tzotzerachav. He should find that which is necessary, what he needs to live. Ashiyat gufo sholem, his body should be complete. La'avodat Hashem, to serve God. You understand? You can be fulfilling a mitzvah even when you're sleeping. You can turn sleep into a great mitzvah. In Yoshein Lodat, if he sleeps with the intent, they should turn out that all of, they should. That's a chupchiyin abyssal. Calm down. V'yonuach gufo, and his body is going to rest. K'dei shelo yecheles, he shouldn't get sick. V'lo yuchal la'avod av Hashem v'uchale. Man can't serve God properly when he is sick.
Nimitzei, so therefore, what emerges is Sheino Shalo Avoda Lo Makom. His sleep is serving God. Sleep. Imagine that. A third of our lives we spend sleeping. You can turn a third of the life, a third of your life, without doing anything. By not doing anything, you turn it into service of God. Nimtzus sheino shelo avod ala makom baruch hu val inyan zet zivu chachamim v'amru. And it's about this that our rabbi said, v'chol ma'asecho yiyu l'shem shamayim, all of your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. V'hu sh'om ha'shlomo v'chachmoso, and that's what Shlomo said with his wisdom, v'chol d'rochecho d'ehu, in all of your ways know him, v'hu yiyasher orchotecha, and he will straighten your paths. Now we're beginning to understand why all of Torah depends on it, because it's a matter of Bechol d'rochecho d'ehu can turn all of life into one great symphony of serving God. But I said that Bechol d'rochecho d'ehu, that Bechol d'rochecho d'ehu is related to, we're up to Sukkos. We're up to Sukkos. In a certain sense, you might have asked me earlier, now listen, there are two Yom Tovim, Pesach and Sukkot. Both of them talk of the Exodus. In a sense, both of them are Zecher LeYetziat Mitzrayim. But there's a big difference between the two. Everything that surrounds Pesach is the supernatural, beyond nature. Nature is dramatically changed in that whole process. There's a world in collision. Everything is different. Dam, Tzadeya, Kinim, Horov, Deva, Shlin, Borod, Arbe, Chosha, Makas, Bechoros, Kriyas, Yonsuf. This is God intervening into nature and into history to dramatically change what's the norm. What's the natural thing on the face of this earth in order to bring the Jewish people out of Egypt? Contrast, compare that to Sukkos. Everything about Sukkos is nature. Nature. Lulev esvig hadas arava. Four meaning. And by the way, they have to be hodo, they have to be beautiful. They have to be at the height of their brilliance, their shine, perfect. Ashena esrig, shena esrig, beautiful hadas blue, beautiful. When it is taken to fulfill the mitzvah, they have to be held in the way in which they grow. For example, one of the halachos in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara that talks about it. How do you make the bracha before fulfilling the mitzvah? You're always supposed to make a bracha on a mitzvah before you fulfill the mitzvah. The moment you take lulav and esrog in your hand, you have already fulfilled the mitzvah. You pick it up, you fulfilled it. So the Gemara says that one of the ways, and this is Shulchan Aruch says, that what you do is you take the lulav and everything, you know, standing as they grow, but you turn the esrog upside down. To pit them down. And then you make the bracha, and as soon as you finish the bracha, you turn it over, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. So you said the bracha prior to the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is not only that they have to be in the height of their beauty, without blemish, but it has to be in the way in which it grows. This is nature. The sukkah, what can you use as schach for the sukkah? Only that which grows from the ground. Only that which grows from the ground. What's central to all sukkahs? Nisuch hamayim, the fetching of water. Simchas beis hafoeva. The world is judged how much rain is going to come out. All of sukkahs in such contrast to Pesach. Pesach is all miraculous, and Sukkot is all natural. What's the significance of these two Yalan Tovim? I'm borrowing here from the thought of Rav Kook in a letter that he wrote in 1917. He was in England at the time, and he wrote a letter to his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, and he sent the letter, he wrote the letter Erev Sukkot. I better read the letter over again. I don't think he says, how are you, how's the family, I'm okay, regards. No. He talks about the beauty of Sukkot, a celebration of nature. Says you can feel already, you can feel autumn is in the air, you can smell it, it's coming, you know, a little bit of a cool breeze. It's not the same as it always was. He must have been thinking about Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what he saw in London, you know, but you were able to sense that the seasons are changing. And he explains to his son the following. Pesach is a celebration of the supernatural. Now here is already, I'm going to be using my own words over here. In a sense, Pesach is all heaven. And Shavuos, what happens is that the heavens, God comes down from the heaven to the top of the mountain. And a relationship for all time, an eternal relationship, develops between God and the Jewish people. Shomayim and Oretz, heaven and earth, meet. When Sukkot comes, the whole message of Sukkot is that we have to take earth, nature, endow it with the sanctity of Torah, and in that way, you know what we're doing? We're turning earth into heaven itself. The greatness of Halacha and Torah is that we can sanctify and hallow every part of human activity. So if Pesach is all heaven, Shavuos is heaven meeting earth, I see Sukkot as earth being endowed with the grace and the beauty of Shamayim. When I was overcome with this thought, I just wrote, Pesach is Pele, beyond the rational, otherworldly. Shavuos, heaven and earth meet. Sukkot is the great synthesis of heaven and earth. The physical and the spiritual, the material and the hallowed are joined. And we, in fact, the purpose of Sukkot is to hallow the material, to sanctify the physical, and endow earth with the grace of heaven. And you know what it means? And this is the great accomplishment of Yahadut. There's no contradiction between heaven and earth. There is no clash. There is no discord. There are Anshei Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim, wherever they went on Sukkot, Lulav Esrig Imo, the Lulav and Esrig, they went out of the street with the Lulav and Esrig. They went into the Sukkah, Lulav and Esrig. They went to Shul, Lulav and Esrig. They went to the Shuk, Lulav and Esrig. The idea is sanctifying that physical, that natural, and turning it into something holy and endowed with sanctity. Here we have a paragraph which is a reconstruction of the words of Rav Kook. Chag HaSukkot u'mitzvotav kosher et am Yisrael lateva. The Yontif of Sukkot and all of its mitzvahs bind the Jewish people to nature. U'ma'asher kiddush hateva. And it makes possible sanctifying nature, v'hachayim, and life, sanctifying them. How? Lo'or arachim elokim, in the light of divine values that are higher than nature. This is what he writes to his son. The process that began with Pesach intensified with Shavuos now comes to its culmination with Sukkos. We went from heaven to heaven and earth to an earth that becomes heavenly. Shematchil v'Pesach b'tziyun nisei ha'yitziyah mi'mitzrayim begins with Pesach. And it talks about the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt that were all me'al b'teva, beyond nature. Halulah v'arvat haminim l'kuchim min atzomeach hativi umiyatzgim et zugav ha'shamim. The lulav and the four species are taken from that which grows naturally, and they are representative of all of the forms of the natural world. And mitzvah netilatam, the mitzvah of taking them is derech gedilatam, the way they're supposed to be held in the way in which they grow. Al pichuke ha'teva shavatzlicha, all in consonance with the laws of nature and growth. Parpat haminim yeshlito kishen b'hadar tzlichatam, you're supposed to take the four species when they are at the beauty of their growth. And at the very peak of their natural life and their freshness. Mitzvot nisuch hamayim mishuvatam, the pouring of the water and the fetching of the water. Gam hikshud alamarechet chukei hateva, that's also bound with the laws of nature. Hamayim hen yisod hakiyum achayim. That's Michabateva. Water is the very fundamental necessity for a world to exist. The mitzvah of living, sitting in the sukkah, Gamhimit Kayemet, Betzeil Schach, in the shadow of Schach, Shehuch Shalom Mitzvah. So it's kosher only if it's Gidulo Min Hodetz, if it grows from the earth. Gam Hamoed Shal Chag HaSukkos, if you take into consideration the time of year of Sukkos, all bound into nature. It's the time of the ingathering. It's the time of the harvest. In Boastav, with the coming of the fall, v'achodev shel ha'achrov, and the winter afterwards, machtivim chukei ha'teva u'mezek ha'avir et orach ha'chayim shel ha'adam. Nature and the weather dictate man's life. So these mitzvahs, he goes on to say, therefore, are all to take nature and through nature to create a spiritual personality. So there's no clash between nature and the supernatural, between Shomayim and Oretz. The greatness of Torah is Torah takes Oretz and endows it with the beauty of Shomayim. Nothing in all of Torah flies in the face of man's nature. The same God who created man and knows his strengths and his weaknesses is the one who gave Torah to the Jewish people. There are all sorts of other religions that have laws that are in stark contradiction to the nature of man. Not so in Torah. Alright, so we've just now done the I'd say that we have scratched the surface of Behold Rochecha Do'egu V'hu Yashir Erchotecha, and we're up to the last one. Hikom Likrat Elokecha Yisrael. Prepare yourself as you come before your God, O Israel. I see in the pasuk Hikom Likrat Elokecha Yisrael that it really is a description of Hoshana Rabbah and the Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah that comes after it. I have the pasuk for you. Down there, Lachain, Koeres Elecha Yisrael. Therefore, so I shall do to you, Israel. Akev, Kizot Eres Elecha. I will do this to you. Hikon, prepare yourself, Likrat Elokecha Yisrael.
what's interesting is the pasuk, a few psukim earlier, there's a whole description that begins with "Im yitoka shofar ba'ir v'am lo yecheradu," will a shofar be blown in the city and the nation will not tremble. And there's a whole description of tshuva that "Im yitoka shofar ba'ir" already is Rosh Hashanah, and we're making our way all the way to Hikon Lekrat Elokecho Yisrael. You have the Targum Yonatan over there. "Bechein ma'abid loch Yisrael," what shall I do to you, Israel? "Chalaf delotaf lo raita," you didn't do tshuva. You know, the last time, the end is Hoshana Rabba, what am I going to do with you? And you didn't do tshuva. We went through the whole process from in Yitoka Shofa Ba'ir, you know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do to you. "It kasheit lekapolo upano gaitza delakoch Yisrael." Prepare yourself before your God Israel, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel says. You know what I'm going to do? Prepare yourself to start being taught Torah by your God. Simplest Torah. We're going to start all over again. You didn't do it right this time, but you're going to do it right the next time. Yisrael is never lose hope. The Rebbe Hashem is going to start on Simchas Torah. You didn't do it last year, you're going to do it this year. We're going to teach you Torah. By the time the next Elul is going to come around, do you know what you're going to know? You're going to know that you begin with Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, and you're going to go through the process of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomim. You're going to come to Yom Kippur of Yahavta L'Reyach HaKamocha. You're going to be overwhelmed by the beauty and the power of a Sukkis that's Bechol D'Rachecha D'Eyu, in a sense, carrying that Lulav and Esri with you wherever you go. And in that way you'll be able to reach not a Simchas Torah of Hikon Likrat Elokecha Yisrael, but a Hoshana Rabbah, where you prepare yourself before your God Israel. In a sense, it's during the 7 days of Sukkot you had Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, and by Simchas Torah you know who you have. You have the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself. I think that Rav Zisha Me'anatoli would not be upset with what I did to his acronym of Tshuva. I hope so anyway. That's it.